Lutheran Public Radio is now a nonprofit organization. That means all past, present, and future gifts to LPR are tax deductible. Please consider making a gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate by check, make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio, and mail it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a tax-deductible gift online, issuesetc.org. Thanks for your support.
Jesus told us to love thy neighbor as thyself.
Religious faith, the source of so much inspiration, an excuse for so much evil.
The Torah commands, that which is hateful to you, do not do to your fellow.
I believe restoring religious faith to its rightful place as the guide to our world and its future is itself of the essence.
In Islam, there is the hadith that reads, none of you truly believes until he wishes for his brother what he wishes for himself.
We have every state represented here today, a half a dozen head of states, 182 nations represented.
The same is true for Buddhists and Hindus, for followers of Confucius, and for humanists.
Do you remember it was probably 10, maybe even 15 years ago, the latest, greatest fad in the church. And it was everywhere, and it was all over the place, and every church was involved in it. Almost every church was involved in it. Promise keepers. It was a men's movement. It was an attempt to bring men back to church, back to their families. Well-intentioned, no doubt about it, and very successful. Kind of faded away after a while. That's just one of many attempts of the church to try and counter a problem of men's attrition and men's disinterest in church. But is that the kind of solution the church needs? Only one among many, I say. The church has done many things trying to help men. We're going to be talking about how the church can help men. The conclusion of a three-part series on men and the church. Dr. Gary Zeroth is our guest for the first half hour of the program today. We are coming to you live this Wednesday. It's the 11th of February. You can join us for the next 2 hours. 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MY-IE, our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. I'm Todd Wilkin. After our conversation with Dr. Gary Zeroth on men in church, we will do some audio open lines. There's a Dateline NBC interview with an unmarried California woman. You've heard about her. Recently gave birth to octuplets via in vitro fertilization. She already had 6 kids at home. If I'm doing my math correctly, that makes 14 children, unmarried, young, unemployed at the time, too. We'll do some audio open lines with you about that coming up in about 25 minutes. Then Helen Hull Hitchcock will join us to talk about the Roman Catholic bishop also making the news, who has some controversial ideas about the Holocaust. He was excommunicated, then reinstated, and even Bishop Benedict XVI has been drawn into this one. Pastor Stephen Parks should join us for the remainder of the program to talk about confession and forgiveness in the latter part of the program. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MY-IE, or talkback@issuesetc.org. Dr. Gary Zeroth is associate pastor at St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Kingsville, Maryland. He leads retreats titled Real Men Follow Jesus. Dr. Zeroth, welcome back.
Hey, Todd, it's great to be back again.
I mentioned Promise Keepers a moment ago. I wonder, did they have the diagnosis of the problem right, but a deficient solution or remedy to that problem when it came to men in the church?
Well, I think their original interest in bringing men back into an active participation in the church was noble, but if you want to talk about that movement for a while, I can address that. Promise Keepers followed the revivalist tradition handed down to them from 200 to 300 years ago. They would have mass meetings to ask for a commitment to the faith. Promise Keepers focused especially on married men, and among those on whom have some sense of responsibility and are open and willing to listen to some spiritual advice on how to fill those responsibilities in marriage. But in reality, these men have already made a reconnection to the feminine in marriage. And it's that's this connection to the feminine that the leadership of Promise Keepers is using to bring men back into a relationship with the church. Now, we can say, I think that Promise Keepers has had some success, but long-range success is now, I think, dubious. Revivalistic attempts to reach men have been successful in the past, but when they bring men into the church, they find a more feminine church, a more feminine atmosphere, and men ultimately end up leaving. Men may be attracted to the crisis atmosphere, but they discover it is impossible to live day-to-day in a crisis. And Promise Keepers faces the problem that the church life, in the church life to which it's attempting to attract men, is feminized. And that's the main issue with Promise Keepers. Now, men who wish to connect to women, that is, married men, may submit to a partial immersion in the feminine atmosphere of religion. And it's always necessary to begin with the groups with which success is most likely. But actually, Todd, the social and religious problem is not so much with married men as with men who do not have a permanent connection to women, that is, unmarried and divorced men. And these men are the locus of social pathologies and anti-Christian movements in the past, and they are the ones that are hardest to reach in society today. So all I can say is in the long run, Promise Keepers, maybe I can summarize it this way, have tended to focus on inner experiences and emotions, which was also a focus common to the early Jesuits, to the Puritans, to revivalists in general. And this ultimately creates a problem for men who are taught to ignore and suppress their emotions in the service of the community. And ultimately, this focus on this inward focus on emotions will necessarily strike men as feminine. The natural fear of being swallowed up in a feminine world, losing their masculinity, will drive men away from the church. So revivals have temporarily increased the number of men, but actually over the long run, they do not stay. And nor will they ever stay as long as religious culture is geared to women and it's not geared to men.
Okay, so it sounds like you're saying no matter how successful, well-intentioned, or even properly diagnosed, any kind of attempt to bring men back to church is, if the church that they deliver these men to is still the feminized church, it will ultimately be an effort in futility. So what does the church need to do to help men? A lot have been tried, Super Bowl Sundays, drum circles, a lot of chest beating, NASCAR churches, all those kinds of things have been tried. What is the real answer?
Yeah, ultimately, you can attempt to make cosmetic changes. And I think this is where most of Christianity is going today. If we can just change the decor of the church itself or change, take away the flowers and the narthex, et cetera, et cetera, this will help men come back. And it ultimately is the wrong path to go down to. I cannot deny that ultimately this is a spiritual problem. And the first way we can attack this is through preaching. And I would not say enough about the fact that even as we listen to preaching nowadays, it has been watered down, it has been dumbed down. It has still been made to reflect a female culture or a feminine church. Pastors are still, I think, targeting the audience of children and women, and we do, as we preach, forget about where men might be at or the spiritual needs they might have. You know, I like to tell stories when I preach. I like to preach from the text, but I am keenly aware that men need to be challenged. I don't think pastors, preachers are challenging men as they should. You know, Jesus challenged his disciples. He rebuked them. He spoke sternly to them. He loved them dearly, but he wanted them to grow, and he wanted them to grow up. And so ultimately, the first place we begin is at the spiritual center of a man's soul and a man's heart, and he needs to hear law and gospel sermons. He needs to be shown his sins. He needs to be shown his Savior, and he needs to hear meaty sermons. You know, he needs to, I guess if you look at it like a diet, men like to eat meat. Most men I know like to eat meat. If we continually feed them a diet of salad and fruit, which is good for you, we're missing out on the diet that men need, good law and gospel sermons. I think most of the sermons that I've heard today have a lot of dessert and a lot of sweetness, but not a whole lot of meat to it.
It seems it's kind of becomes a vicious cycle. We've only got about a minute here before we take a break, but and we can continue your response on the other side. Seems it becomes a vicious cycle, folks. What happens when the best-intended movements to bring men back into church, bring them back in, but deliver them to a church that is deeply feminized or emasculated, and where Jesus is presented as a pseudo-lover, maybe at best a best friend, but certainly not captain, certainly not Lord, certainly not Savior every Sunday. What happens? Well, I think it becomes a vicious cycle. It becomes a vicious cycle wherein the men who are delivered there and who maybe just by force of will stay, or because their wives insist that they stay, may by this feminized Christianity be feminized themselves. And the ones, the men, we might even say the real men, who say, "Fooey on this, I've had enough dessert. I need the meat of God's word, and I'm not finding it in Christian churches," leave altogether, leaving the church even more feminized than it was before. We're talking about men and church, how the church can help men in this last of our three-part series with Dr. Gary Zeroth, associate pastor at St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Kingsville, Maryland. He leads retreats titled Real Men Follow Jesus. Our call-in number, this break is a good time to call, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MY-IE, or email us, talkback@issuesetc.org.
So what are your plans for Valentine's weekend? Consider for the kids, dinner for two, champagne, roses. Or maybe you don't have any plans. How about spending that time with your brothers? The Brothers of John the Steadfast, that is. Our first national conference is on the 13th and 14th of February in Naperville, Illinois. Featured speakers are Pastor Todd Wilkin from Issues Etc. and Chris Roseborough. For more info, check us out on the web, www.steadfastlutherans.org.
On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues Etc. Barb Neeland, Bonnie Zwanitzer, Gary Thomas, Xavier Sanchez, Chris Rohrborn, Pastor Robert Lane, Sarah Bobby, Pastor Christopher Rayford, Kathy Green, and Andy Baldwin. Thanks for your support.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Would you like to post your favorite Issues Etc. audio segments on your website or blog? Well, we've made it easy for you. Just go to the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, click the embed green logo, and copy and paste the embed code on your website or blog. It's just like posting a YouTube video. Embed Issues Etc. audio on your website or blog today. We love our on-demand listeners. Old theology, new technology. Issuesetc.org.
Here's an easy way for you to publicize Issues Etc. at your church. Go to the promote page of our website, issuesetc.org, and you'll find a short paragraph to include in your weekly church bulletin. Help inform your fellow parishioners about Issues Etc. issuesetc.org. Click promote and copy and paste the text for your church secretary or pastor to include each week in the Sunday bulletin. We update this paragraph weekly. Go to the promote page of our website, issuesetc.org.
I'm Todd Wilkin. Welcome back to Issues Etc. In about 10 minutes, I want your answer to a series of questions. We've all heard about this young mother, unemployed. She already had six kids. Then she went in for in vitro fertilization. After many attempts, eight babies are born. And the world says she's irresponsible. Do you think she is? What about the in vitro technique by which she had these last eight children? Is this immoral? Just the technique of implanting these, she had the choice of either letting these children come to term or aborting some of these children. She didn't abort them, which brings us to another question. In her interview with NBC the other night, she made a strong defense of embryonic life. It was refreshing to hear. But there's no father around either. And she has no prospect of the father being around. What do you think about this unmarried woman in California who recently gave birth to octuplets via in vitro fertilization, bringing her total number of children to 14? Those questions in about 10 minutes. 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MY-IE, or talk back at issuesetc.org. Dr. Ziroth, do you think it is a vicious cycle that if men are delivered to a feminized church, the men who will remain may be feminized themselves, making the church really pound for pound more feminine than it was before?
Yeah, that's a good question. Yeah, you got to start somewhere. And, you know, in my mind, I think you have to start probably at two levels. The first level being at the seminary level, is as we train pastors to deal with this issue and to make it plain in front of seminarians that we're missing the boat when we don't deal with men's issues in the church, especially the aspect of preaching and feeding. And the other level, I think, is where we have to start and must start is with boys. And We briefly talked about in another broadcast about initiation rites and the fact that in Judaism they have the rite of circumcision, and a Jewish boy is brought fully into manhood and is accepted into the group of men at that time. We don't really have anything comparable to that in the Christian church, and I think this is really the place we should begin. Is when boys reach that crucial age of 12 or 13, and I've read many things about Christian puberty rites. Many writers have given suggestions on how to do this. One person I read about was a man, a Christian pastor. His name was Gordon Dalby, and he observed some Nigerian rituals in which boys were taken from the world of women and inducted into the world of men and the sacred realities of their tribe. And it was very interesting of how he observed this tribal way and tried to apply it into the Christian church. He has, you know, some suggestions for this, and maybe I can just mention a few of them here.
Yeah, please do.
The father, pretending to go to church, would go to somewhere else, and they would take the son, as well as a group of other boys, into the woods, into the wilderness, and they would arrive together, and the pastor may or may not be present with them. And, of course, there's no women present. The mothers, sisters, et cetera, are left back at home. And they have an opening worship service. They're taught to memorize some scripture passages. They recount some heroes of the past. They think about their grandfathers and great-grandfathers and great men in history. They study the Bible together. They look at some examples of men, godly men in the Bible, and they learn to pray together. They teach their sons how to pray alone and to pray with their fathers together. He mentions, I think, if I remember, a time of fasting, which the boy is taught the biblical purpose of fasting. They're taught the nature of sexuality, how to relate to women, both with compassion and with strength. There's time for rigorous physical exercise, Bible readings, journal keeping. If I can remember, also opportunities just to hang out with older, godly men and talk to them sort of the beginning of a spiritual fathering, which also has, I think, been absent in our church, this aspect of a spiritual father whom we can trust and go to for counsel and wisdom. And, of course, I think at the end, if I remember, there's a closing worship service where the men lay their hands upon the boy or the boys and pray for them. It's kind of similar to our own rite of confirmation, but you can see that it's more in-depth and more focused upon the needs of the boy. And at that moment, the boy is actually received into the realm of men in the Christian community. And I think this kind of thing could be more, you know, studied more in-depth and applied individually to congregations, as boys are set aside and brought into this way into the church. I think that's a place we need to begin.
Don in Junction City, Kansas, emails us. He says, I was reading some sermons from the Lutheran Hour when Walter A. Meyer was preaching, and I can see how he was able to communicate the Word of God to men. His sermon content was filled with Bible texts and history of the past. He used theological terms that we never hear today. Do men want to be challenged theologically, Dr. Zeroth?
Yeah, I think in reality they do. I think in reality we all do. I think there's a yearning in the heart of men that that they need to be instructed. Unfortunately, in our culture today, our television shows, the materials we read, our vocabulary. I mean, you just mentioned your vocabulary. Our vocabulary has diminished tremendously in the last 40 years. Pastors and preachers, I don't think we want to spend the time like we used to help explain concepts and theology and doctrines, because it's more of an effort, perhaps. But I think we do. We need to take that time as pastors and leaders in the church to really explain theology, because it is that important. Yes, we can't give in to the culture. We have to oppose what I call the dumbing down of the culture in the church.
With about a minute and a half, here's the experience I've noticed. Traveled to a lot of churches, and what I've noticed, and this may not be universal, but where the pastor presents himself unabashedly as a man, not machismo, but as a man in all of his aspects, when he is not ashamed, does not try to kind of knock the rough corners off of his personality, his preaching, his proclamation, but is himself as a man in the pulpit and at the chancel and at the back door of the church, I often see the men rise up within the church to positions of leadership. They follow that kind of an example, and they seem somewhat inspired by it. Is there something going on there? About a minute and before we close up.
Yeah, as I mentioned before, we need to look more at that aspect of what a spiritual father is, and men follow men. That has been known for a very long time. And yes, there's many different kinds of pastors out there with different personalities, but I think what men need to follow is someone not just to teach them, but also who can walk alongside of them and help them to mature in the faith. One of the goals I have in this congregation, which, by the way, I want to say hi to all the guys at my breakfast on Saturday morning. I said I would, and I got that plug in for the guys, so hi to everybody. But is to form a group of eight, and I would train and lead these eight men who would eventually go out and gather eight men unto themselves and become a sort of a spiritual father to these other eight. I think the church will grow through that kind of a system. But also, you know, can we say that the pastor is also one who can say, I'm sorry? Men have a difficult time admitting their wrongs and their faults. And for a man to get up and say, I blew it, I'm honestly sorry, I made a mistake, please forgive me, let's go on in Christian love and learn from this experience. I think that kind of a confession actually shows strength in a man. And women especially want to hear those words from
about
any man.
10 seconds here.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, the last thing I can say is if the pastor can help form a band of brothers in their local church, just a group of men who can honestly work together, show their love together, and support one another as they face this task of defeating evil in this great battle that we have been placed into.
Dr. Gary Zeroth is Associate Pastor of St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Kingsville, Maryland. Dr. Zeroth, thanks for being our guest.
Thanks. Thanks so much.
We'll be right back.
Never trust a smiling evangelical. You're listening to Issues Etc.
On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues Etc. Keith Schmidt, Matthew Black, Lori Wolf, Melissa Seaman, Dane Logan Fowler, Alan Heiss, Mike Pfeiffer, Jeffrey Needham, Stephen Daring, and Eddie Watkins. Thanks for your support.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Gary Graham made a name for himself on TV shows like Star Trek Enterprise and JAG. He recently wrote an article about his experience immersed in sex, drugs, and rock and roll during the 60s and 70s. He's personally paid for 3 abortions, but has had a spiritual awakening. He said it threw him to his knees in a sudden tearful epiphany that sex is designed by our Creator and abortion is murder. These are strong words from someone who's been there. I know nothing about Gary's spiritual status, but I do know he's truly remorseful for his role in sex outside of marriage and abortion of the resultant pregnancies. Please join me in praying for Gary. May he find open and loving Christian arms to help him grieve and heal. May he find peace in Jesus.
Life Issues. Stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start. The foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes. Dedicated customer service and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House. Listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.